Welcome to The Family Show. I'm your host, Eleanor Rossman, and joining me today and every week are Brenda and Randy Lee. Welcome to both of you.
Well, hello. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for liking us.
I like you both very much. And especially because of what we're going to talk about today, you know? Yeah. I have fond memories when I think back to the shore when I was 15 and 16 and just starting to get those feelings of, oh my goodness, boys are kind of interesting now. And anyway, our topic is courting, pursuing, and capturing.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
Mary and Joseph.
Dating Jesus kind of thing, yeah. And this is actually a carrier from the last show, because we were talking about this in the last show. And
wow,
we know
you reminded me.
I remember. You guys probably slept through it. But we said in the last show that in fruitful relationships, right, we have these two phases of pursuing and capturing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's why we have dating and courting is the pursue and the capture. And if we will pursue Jesus, then he will allow us to capture him, mm-hmm. right? And at the time, we were looking at what appears to be three healings in Mark chapter 5. And I say appears to be because Mark is kind of sneaky about what's going on in Mark chapter 5. He's just like that, right? Mm-hmm. But in Mark 5, Jesus is going to heal this demon-possessed man living amidst the tombs, right? Then he heals the woman who touches the hem of his garment. And then he heals the synagogue leader, Jairus' daughter. And last time we skipped over the guy in the tomb. Jesus healed the woman who touched his garment. And when we stopped, Jairus' daughter was kind of being left in the lurch, right?
Yeah.
So I figured we would pick up with saving poor Jairus'
daughter. Pick up Jairus' daughter.
That's right. So at the moment where Jesus heals the woman with the hemorrhage, right, we've got the desperate dad, Jairus, we've got Jesus, we've got the apostles, they've all been fighting through the crowd. Jesus stops to heal the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, right? The woman touches the hem of his garment. Jesus takes time to tell her her pursuit of him is what has made her well. And no sooner does Jesus stop to say this than the messengers from Jairus' house show up to tell Jairus, your daughter is dead. Right. There's mm-hmm. no need to trouble the teacher any further. And I hate to say this, but I suspect that there may have been a little bit of sarcasm in this statement. Right. Mm-hmm. Remember from last time, it's really not.
Thanks a lot, Jesus.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or Jairus, ha ha, you blew this one. Right. Mm-hmm. Remember from last time, it's really not cool for Jairus and his buddies, the temple rulers, to buy into Jesus, right? It's pretty radical for Jairus to go seeking, pursuing Jesus.
Yeah.
But Jairus does it anyway. Why?
Because he believes.
Well, actually, because he's desperate.
Well, he desperately wants to believe.
Eleanor, that's exactly what it is. He desperately wants to believe, right? Jesus is the only chance he has for his daughter, mm-hmm. right? He really is like the woman who crawls through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' robe, right?
Tried everything else. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Both are really zealous because they're both really desperate.
Okay.
Right? Right. Now, the gang from the temple shows up and essentially says, you went off on this foolhardy scheme. Well, you lost. Your daughter's dead. And you weren't even with her when she died. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you're Jairus, should be pretty devastating. Right? Except Jesus says, the game is not over. Mm-hmm. If you but believe, you will see. Right? Which is this incredible moment in the Gospels, right? Notice Jesus does not question whether Jairus' daughter is dead.
Yeah, really.
Right? He lets that stand. But then he says, don't give up now. You have already come so far. You are on the verge of a miracle. Right? Don't stop pursuing now. Right? And how different the story would be if in this moment of apparently total darkness, Jairus would have listened to the world rather than to Christ.
Yeah.
Just a completely different story. So intriguingly, Jesus has the other nine apostles stay there, right? They fought through the crowd with him, but then he says, I tell you what, You guys stay here. I just want Peter, James, and John to come with me. So off they go, Peter, James, John, to Jairus' house with Jairus, right? They get to Jairus' house, and at that point, everything really goes weird, right? And I think sometimes we read the Bible, and we encounter really weird stuff there, and we assume when we encounter really weird stuff in the Bible, we're supposed to pretend it's not weird.
Yeah, right. Right?
But no, the weird stuff is weird for a reason,
okay.
Right? So Jesus gets to Jairus' house. Everyone's outside the little girl's room. They're mourning. They're weeping for the dead daughter. Jesus says, "Why are you weeping? The child is not dead, but only asleep." And this is so weird for so many reasons. First, if Jesus really knows Jairus' daughter is not dead, why didn't he share that with the father,
like
Jairus?
Way back.
Exactly, way back.
Yeah.
When the messenger showed up, right?
Heads up, she's just sleeping.
Exactly. It seems like that might have been some consolation to the father.
Sure.
Listen, I know they're saying she's dead, but I see these cases all the time. Most people can't pick it up, but 12-year-old girls sleep really soundly. She's only sleeping.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus doesn't say that.
Mm-mm.
He says, I know it's really, really dark, but don't give up pursuing me, right? Second reason this is really weird, these people have been with the corpse for a couple of hours, right? And Jesus hasn't even seen the body yet, right? He's still outside the room, right? Do you think these people don't know a corpse when they see one?
Yeah.
Right? You know, so certainly not surprisingly, perhaps even understandably, all these people start mocking Jesus, criticizing Jesus, right? They weren't big fans in the first place, but now, who do you think you are, right? Think we're too stupid to recognize dead? You think she's asleep? If you think she's asleep, you go wake her up, right? Now, at this point, what should happen? Right? People are making fun of Jesus. They're contradicting Jesus. They don't believe in him. Right? What should happen?
You think he'd almost say, like, you know what? Okay, you guys, see you later. I'm leaving.
Either leave or invite them all
in.
In.
Yeah.
Oh, you're making fun of me. Right? Mm-hmm. Let's ante up here. Right? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't he take them all into the room so they can see he's right and they're wrong, that he's God and they're not, right? You think of the raising of Lazarus, which is a very public event, right? Jesus even says, I'm saying this for everyone to hear. God, I know you don't need me to say this or say this out loud, but I'm saying this so they can hear it, so they will know who I am, right? Jesus doesn't say, this is for you to hear, this is for you to say, right? This is for the crowd. He doesn't invite them in. He says, I need all of you to wait outside. And he only takes in the girl's parents and James, Peter, and John.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why does he do that? Why, after raising her, does Jesus instruct her parents, tell no one?
Yeah, he's done that before. You know, he tells it to the lepers and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but don't. That's the screwy thing, because sometimes he says that, but sometimes, Brenda, he says what? Go tell everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, just on a natural level, you think, well, tell everybody, Lord, and then they'll all believe you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll believe in you. So tell everybody.
Right.
In fact, when we get to the demoniac in that's healed at the beginning of the story, that's exactly what Jesus says. He says, go tell everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Now he's saying, tell no one. No one should know this. As far as they're concerned, she was only sleeping.
Hmm.
Right? This is Jesus' chance to prove himself to the rich and famous.
Yeah.
Right? This is his chance for acceptance, credibility. He could be on the cover of Time and People magazine. And he's blowing it. He's leaving everybody outside.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Can I make a guess?
You can make a guess, because I'm only going to guess anyway.
I'm thinking because it's like all anybody's going to want to do is see a sign. And will that really make them believe? Or is it just like, show us another sign.
Mm-hmm.
Show us another sign.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs to believe? Right? Start, if you go back to the beginning of the story, right, when we were talking about this last time, where we, when last show, when Jairus shows up, right, all the apostles are excited because they're like, oh my gosh, this is our chance to prove ourselves to the world, right? This is our chance to make the big time, to make Time Magazine, to make People Magazine, right?
Yeah.
And remember too, who Jesus brings in with it.
Yes.
Right? And the interesting thing, this is why I said we got, you know, three people being healed explicitly. We got other people being healed implicitly. Why does Jesus only bring James, John, and Peter into the room? Why does he leave the other people out? Because he needs James, John, and Peter to see the miracle.
To record it?
To see it, right? Who's he trying to heal? And this is the fun part. He's trying to heal not only the little girl. This miracle is to heal James, John, and Peter, and the little girl's parents. Right? Now you're thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute. John's the apostle Jesus loves. Peter's going to be the rock. How come they need to be healed?
Yeah.
Right? And the interesting thing, right, is so what makes it really curious, right, about this is Jesus takes in James, John, Peter, right? He takes in the parents. He leaves these other people out. And in that room, Jesus is going to do more than anyone expects, right? Nobody expects he can raise anybody from the dead. That's what he's going to do. They don't think he can do this. He's going to do this, right? And because he's making it private, he's going to get less reward, less credit than the apostles wanted him to.
Right, right.
Right? So we got all this mystery, and in the face of all this mystery, what we need to do is take a break.
Yes, we do.
And then people will come back and they'll go, wow, what's going to happen?
Exactly. So you better stay tuned.
Exactly, because otherwise you'll miss it.
You're listening to The Family Show on Holy Family Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back with The Family Show with Brendan Randy Lee. And when we left before the break, we were waiting because we left Jesus with Peter, James, and John, Jairus and his wife in the room with the little girl who was dead.
Yep.
Well,
why what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Right? This is so exciting. Right. And so why does Jesus, and again, this is that you see weird stuff in the Bible and you think it's not supposed to be weird. Right? Things in the Bible don't make sense, and you think that they're supposed to make sense.
Yeah, and we were saying, just to recap a little bit, that, like, why didn't Jesus bring everybody there?
That's a great question.
See the miracle, and then they'd all believe in...
He takes the people into the room who most need to see the miracle. Right? We think because Peter gets to be Peter.
Yeah.
We think rock of the church. We think because John is the apostle that Jesus loves, that those are the people who had it all together from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? And we see them not having it together, and we just ignore that because we go, wait a minute, they're Peter, James, and John. They should have it all together. So they can't not have it all together.
Why do they need to come in the room?
And really, these guys... If you look at the story, for the vast majority of the story, when they're walking around with Jesus being apostles, they're goofs, right? Yeah. They are, right? James and John get their mom. They don't even go themselves. They get their mom to ask Jesus, can one of my sons sit at your right hand and one at the left in your kingdom, right? When they're not welcomed into a city, they're like, Jesus, they insulted us. Can we destroy them? Can we make this place ashes? Exactly. Yeah. Please.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Exactly. That's what they're looking for, right? You know, Jairus shows up and these guys are like, Jesus, this is your chance to get ahead, to get power, right? And Jesus looking at all this stuff and he says, you guys, this is not my chance to get power. This is my chance to love and serve. Right? If Jesus makes this a big public miracle, then what James and John see is that this is about Jesus. And what Jesus needs James and John to see is none of this is about him. Mm-hmm. It's about being a servant. It's about being love. It's about being healing. If you read the Gospels and you say, wow, that John guy had issues. Well, you're supposed to say, wow, that John guy had issues. John calls himself the apostle Jesus loved, right? And we think that means John didn't have issues, mm-hmm. right? That's not what it means at all, right? How many of his apostles did Jesus love?
All of them.
Exactly. Then John isn't saying, I was the one, the only one that Jesus loved.
I always found that curious.
Right? Yeah. That's right. It's a great thing to be curious about, Brenda. What's he saying? For all my issues, for all my failings, for all my sins, he never saw me as the apostle who failed or the apostle who sinned. Mm-hmm. He saw me as, Brenda, the apostle whom Jesus
loved.
Love. When Jesus looked at me, he never spurned me for my brokenness. He invited me to rest my head.
Where? On his shoulder.
Not on his shoulder.
On his heart.
On his chest.
On his chest.
On his chest. Right. Mm-hmm. Right? John was messed up in places, but he still left everything to pursue Jesus, and Jesus allowed himself to be captured by his pursuer. Right? Why does Peter go on this journey, right? What do we know about Peter? Every time Jesus talks about dark moments, Peter freaks out, rebukes Jesus, right. buys a sword. And Jesus is constantly saying, Peter, don't be afraid. Remember Jairus' daughter. Remember when everything looked dark, but we were on the verge of a miracle. Mm-hmm. Keep pursuing Jesus. There will be light. I am.
What a message for today. Yeah. You know, it really, really. We need that. You know, Randy and I were walking the other day in a different neighborhood, not ours. And, you know, we just saw some guy gardening. And we just said hello. We said, how you doing today? And he just said, remember his answer? It was, I'm joyful. Mm-hmm. My heart is glad. And, better days are coming. It was just like three things that took us off guard, but boy, did that stick with us. And we needed that. Yeah. We need, as Catholic Christians, to go forward with that in our minds and hearts and spread that, because the world is telling us different things. Yeah. I mean, you can't put on social media without, you know, being upset. We need to believe. We believe in Christ.
Yeah. And despite what we see around us, despite the fact that Jairus' daughter died, we have to believe that the light is always with us.
Yeah, he's a God of miracles.
Even with the appearance of, and let's not even get into the coronavirus and all this other stuff, but there's enough stuff around just to weigh us down and think.
Sure.
This is reality.
Right.
No, it's not.
No.
That's what's so fascinating, right? We need to be healed. We forget that.
Right.
We need to be healed, and he wants to heal us. Mm-hmm. Right? We think of this as Jesus healing Jairus' daughter, but Jesus wants to heal everyone in that room, right? Jairus has worked his way to the pinnacle of religious life, of cultural life. At what cost? He gets up one morning, his daughter is dying, and none of that success matters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Classic mind-blowing moment, right? Their daughter has just been healed. What do the parents want to do? There's this guy, Don Francisco, has got this song from like the 90s, I think, about this story. And the chorus of this song is, I got to tell somebody.
Yeah.
I got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. What's Jesus say? He says, don't worry about them, the people outside the room. Your daughter, feed her. Right? There's your focus right there, your daughter. If you have kids, if you have a spouse, you don't need to go looking for a ministry. It's called your family. Mm-hmm. Feed them, right? Jesus didn't raise Jairus' daughter to glorify himself. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter to reconnect a family, right? In the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Right? Why are the people who hunger and thirst after righteousness blessed? Because they're the ones who will be satisfied. That's the end of that segment. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness because they will be satisfied. There are so many things in the world for us to hunger and thirst for. But in the end, the only one of those things that will satisfy us is
God.
God.
Yeah.
Everything else leaves us hungry.
Right.
Right.
Even a healing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a healing, but then what?
Mm-hmm.
What do we ultimately want? And sometimes I think we fail to think that way when we pray. Oh, can you fix this?
Mm-hmm.
Can you make this better?
Mm-hmm.
Rather say, Lord, heal me where I need the healing the most so that I can love you.
Exactly. That's the great thing is, at least I am constantly asking for healing. And I don't even know what needs to be healed. Maybe I may be asking for somebody else, but I don't even know what needs
Brandon
to be healed.
And I could probably fill you in a little bit. But
well, that's exactly
I got
right.
the list right here.
Right. We should be saying, you know, Lord, heal me in all the ways I need to be healed.
Yeah.
Right. Peter, James, and John, they thought they didn't need healed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Jesus is like, no, you got to see this. You got to be touched by this. Right.
And the other thing, you know, don't you think God knows what needs to be healed in us? You know, and we're like, go in with our list and we're like, this, this, this. Maybe we just need to sit and say, Lord, your will be done. You know.
Yeah.
You know what's on my heart. You know what swirls in my mind. Just sit with him. And like you said, I just want to love you. I want to feel your love.
Yeah.
And that's where the healing is, you know, and
Brent, that's a great point. In fact, you know, probably next show we can go and talk about the healing of the demoniac. But the funny thing about the really funny thing about that is the reality is none of these people know what needs to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We assume
think we know.
That's exactly right. We're the flip of what you said. We think, at least I think God, you're confused on this one, right? You think you know what needs to be healed, but I know what needs to be healed. So let's use my will. Let's heal what I want to be healed. You know, and just can we just put your agenda aside for a minute, Lord, and just let me be in charge? And if we're actually going to be healed.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting, too, when you think about that, because I've always thought about the story of Jairus and his daughter. I think when Jesus brings Peter, James, and John into the room, you know, before he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead, I'm thinking, well, these are his favorites and these are the witnesses that he wants to make. But what you're saying is so different. It's like, no, they're bought in because they need healing too. I never thought of that.
As
before.
Do Jairus' parents.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and the fact of the matter is if Jesus brings everybody in that room, then none of the people that really need the healing get healed because they think they're going to see all these people in the room and think, oh, this is about Jesus. This is like, you know, People Magazine time, you know, Time Magazine cover time, you know. And Jesus is like, no, what you need to be healed of is that obsession with the world's approval.
But were the people that Jesus invited in the room at least open with faith? Do you know what I mean? Like, because the crowds out there, maybe that was their motivation, saying, oh, we want to see something really amazing. You know?
Eleanor, that's exactly right. If you think about the whole story, Peter says, Lord, we have left everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
Jairus leaves to go get Jesus. And when he leaves, he puts everything at risk, his prestige, his honor, his status, puts everything at risk, right? All of these people, and it goes back to that, you need to pursue me with your heart. If you're going to fall in love with me, you need to pursue me. If you're going to be engaged in love between us, mm-hmm. you've got to pursue me with your own heart. If you'll pursue me with your whole heart, and that's what those people did who were in the room, they were pursuing with their whole heart, and they became engaged in the loving relationship of Christ.
Yeah. In other words, don't get caught up in everything that's going on, all the externals, mm-hmm. because that's a danger. Mm-hmm. Instead, I mean, I'm picturing an adoration to sit there before Jesus and say, Lord, you know what? Mm-hmm. You heal me however mm-hmm. you want. Mm-hmm. I just want to love you, mm-hmm. be you, mm-hmm. you know, for others. Mm-hmm. We're out of time.
Take that one home. Everybody, take that one home. Jesus, I just want to love you.
Yes. We're out of time, but we invite all of you to join us every Friday at 12:30 on AM 720 for The Family Show.
And keep us in your prayers.
For Brendan Randy Lee, I'm Eleanor Rossman, and we invite you to listen to the beautiful sound of seasons.